Hello and welcome to another episode of Never a Straight Answer, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm Gaz, and joined today with me as always, the biggest glitch in the Matrix, Mr. Yes, Taylor.
Oh, how are we doing?
I'm good, how are you? How are you doing?
Yeah, as long as I don't get patched up.
Oh, I'm all right.
Well, you're the biggest glitch.
Yeah, being a glitch, you don't get the patches in. Then you just can't. You won't be here, will you?
Yeah, they would have sorted that out now, do we?
Yeah. Well, we like a few glitches occasionally.
Well,
it's been a bit of a mad week. I've had a mad couple of weeks, but you know what I mean. You can't complain.
That's true.
A lot of positive stuff going on though, and. I found this mad toy. I posted it on Instagram and stuff like that. But I don't want to see this obsession what people have with like fecal toys.
I looked at it and I thought it was like, no, I'd rather eat it than eat it than look at it and go, what the fuck's that?
I think we've got a confirmed fecophilia in the bunker. Yeah. Well, let me tell you exactly what it is if you've not seen it. It was just a photo. I posted the photo on Instagram and also on Twitter. And it was like a Play-Doh kit where you could like make your own poo.
Yeah.
And it says, ooh, looks so real, freakishly real. And it was like, oh, it was a bit weird.
Yeah, I'd rather use Snickers or Mars bar. Why
do people have this obsession? And why would you want your kids playing with that? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it's something
doing
it.
Some kids would love it, I think.
Yeah, it's a hobby. You know, start them off with shit and then go, leave that alone.
We're talking about shit. Yeah. Brexit never happened, did it?
No, it's pissed me off, man. Yeah. I've had to put the champagne away a fucking again.
Shit, mate.
You know what I mean? I've got to wait until April the 12th, and then it's probably going to last longer than that.
Well, we haven't got a deal. We've got half a deal at the moment.
It's not contractable, though. That's the thing. It's just that... one went through again. Prime Minister.
Yeah, she wanted that. That's what she's been doing. She's been pushing for a deal, but that's what she was putting the job for to do that. So
anyway, she got beat only by 58.
We can talk about that later on in the show. Anyway, have you been up to anything else?
Nothing apart from this fucking watching like about Brexit and shit. As you know,
Taylor's banging into his Brexit.
Freedom. I've been chatting
with a guy called Charlie from an event.
Yeah.
And we've got to say, well, proud to be teaming up with. Pint of Science.
Oh yes. Can't wait, man.
It's an exciting event happening in Manchester.
Yeah.
So head down to your local pub.
Yes.
And hear talks from dark matter to microorganisms. There's going to be more than 45 scientists, and they'll all be appearing in pubs throughout Manchester.
Yeah.
Global event.
Yeah, I was going to say in the global event where like they're doing it all over different.
All over the world. There's going to be 300 cities, and Manchester's going to be joining them for this event. It's going to be held from the 20th to the 22nd. Of August.
It's going to be brilliant.
No, sorry, I tell a lie. It's going to be May. 20th to the 22nd of May.
Right.
And tickets go on sale on the 8th of August.
Right, sweet. Good.
Do you know where we can get them tickets? Or is it March? Sorry, I'm fucking up royally today. It's in March.
No, we're in March. It is in May.
I do apologise.
So, it's in May. What date?
20th to the 22nd.
20th to the 22nd.
But you can get your tickets go on sale on the 8th. You can get yours at apintofscience.co.uk/events/Manchester.
Yeah, it's only a couple of quid. It'd be great if people can get down there and have a look because it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, tell you what, I mean, I'm quite excited to get down and chat to a few people. Yeah. And to be honest, we're going to be doing something in the future, and we're going to be getting a bit of an interview with.
Yes,
hopefully.
Yes.
I'm pushing for it, so hopefully that'll come in.
We push.
Talking about pushing stuff, going to push our Patreon. If you've not been on Patreon, if you want to support us in the podcast, you like what
we'll
we
be
do
grateful.
Here, you can get down to Patreon, Never a Straight Answer, and chuck in a quid. Euro, a rupee.
Yeah,
yen.
You can even get into that competition.
We've got a competition going if you want to get on that. And that's basically anyone who signs up to Patreon has a shot at winning the mug and conspiracy theory book and a little something extra that we might just throw in there as well. There you go. There's plenty of extra stuff coming on to the Patreon as well, which we're doing some kind of bits and pieces for.
Yeah.
So it's going to be worth your while, and also it helps us out to make the show better.
It only goes back into the products on like computers, the devices that we listen use.
Yeah.
It all goes back into.
All goes back into the show, doesn't it? So I mean, we've got
better and bigger.
We're talking about a bigger and better show, we have got a big show today.
Yeah.
And we're going to be discussing whether we live in a matrix, in a computer simulation designed by who knows?
Elon Musk.
Do you reckon Elon Musk actually believes that we are living in a computer simulation?
Yeah, he hopes.
He says it's a billion to one chance.
Yeah.
To be honest. Or a one answers, in a billion chance.
It answers basically all the questions to everything.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
But we will go down that
road. Yeah, we'll go down that rabbit hole afterwards.
So deep. And to be honest, I was kind of like thinking, we chose the topic and we were like, right, we're going to do the, are we living in a computer simulation?
Yeah.
Let's get the research done.
Yeah.
Started looking into it, mate, and I was like, wow, this is epic. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, without any further ado, we're going to get on with the news.
Yeah. We have news.
We got quite a lot of news today.
Yeah.
Did you check out the ISS? They did the spacewalk.
Yes. This little feed that, like, they turned off, didn't they? And then,
well, no, they're always cutting the feed.
And they had to put it back on within a couple of seconds, but made the person move the cameras.
Yeah, they made it out, though, that there was, like, I'm talking about glitches.
Yeah.
They made it out, like, there was a glitch.
There's a glitch, yeah.
The whole camera started going a bit funny. And then it's like, well, I think there's been a few people online saying, like, you know, they did it on purpose. They've added it as an effect to make you think, oh, well, that's why the feed was cut. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were having camera problems. There was issues with the feed itself.
But was it the object that was?
The object could have done something. Well, if you don't know about this, NASA feed went from the International Space Station was suddenly cut after an anomaly appeared in the background of one of the astronauts walking and working in space.
Yeah.
So there was this has sparked a frenzy online. Everyone, conspiracy theorists have basically come out and saying that the ISS space mission was kind of like turned off because of this
object that was coming from Earth.
Was it coming from Earth?
Yeah, either coming from Earth or it's coming behind Earth but very close to the atmosphere.
Okay. Yeah, because like It was crazy though, because you do see it in the top corner, and then all of a sudden, like you say, you straight away you start getting like camera glitches, and then suddenly they cut the feed.
And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of evidence to state that, you know, if you spot a UFO and you look at it, it moves within a certain amount of time. For some reason, it's they know that you're looking at it.
Well, like they know that you know.
They know that you're looking at it, and if you're filming something, it will.
I've heard that. Yeah, the cameras do kind of tend to, but that's so convenient.
Depending on the distance,
that, you know. Oh shit! Yeah, I could have got it, but my camera started playing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
it's a weird
talking
about
like
thing,
Oak Island. They always say the same thing. It's like, oh yeah, whenever we get new kit in or new technology to kind of do the job, it always fucks up because it's the island. The island doesn't want us to find out. And you know, when you start going, oh, we couldn't get the evidence because it must have been the UFO. It's rather you're a shit camera operator, it was too fast for you, or
I've got to disagree there, because I've seen enough of cases to say that they play around with electronics and very well, and they also somehow know you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Because soon as you look at it, either something's going to happen to you, or it just pops up and goes, oh shit, someone's looking at us and fucks off. You know what I mean? So there is some weird. But that could also be down to them reading our minds.
Yeah.
That's
well, I'm not the only person to say it. I mean, obviously, like, the article that I was reading pointed at, do you know Tyler from Security?
Yes.
And they were saying it was quickly shared online by the popular conspiracy channel Secure Team 10, where presenter Tyler widely claimed he thought it could have been a UFO. And he said, here's yet another example of when NASA has cut a feed after a UFO was spotted whilst an astronaut was out doing some routine spacewalk. So, you know, it's...
Big fan of Tyler's and, like, he brings some good stuff out.
I tell you what, though, he does... he brings some good stories out, right? But, I mean, he's got a very inquisitive mind. And you can tell that he really, really enjoys the topic and loves what he does.
Yeah.
Well, big respect for the guy.
Yeah, definitely.
I've got another NASA story. It's not really a NASA story, but it's a kind of related to YouTube as well, considering we've just done talked about Tyler there.
Yeah.
There's a YouTuber called Tom Standerland, right?
Yeah.
I've seen quite a few of his videos. I've got to be honest. He's one of these guys, he likes to challenge himself.
All right,
he does crazy stuff. He'll be like,
Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah, I want to spend like a week in a Zorb ball or whatever. Just weird shit.
Yeah.
Right, well, he's made the papers this week. Basically, he's launched a Big Mac into space, right?
Oh, shit. It's not a Big Mac, or is it a Big Mac with bacon?
I don't know.
You know what? It's got to be a Big Mac.
There is a difference, isn't there? You can't
bacon.
Have a Big Mac if it's got bacon on it. Yeah. I don't know what that all is about, but, you know. Yeah. Well, YouTuber Tom Staniland wanted to taste a burger which had been into outer space.
Oh.
So he tasked himself with sending a McDonald's Big Mac into the sky, and it actually did work. But when Colchester United groundkeeper was doing their normal daily rounds, he came across something a bit odd.
Right.
So yeah, on the floor, next to one of the buildings, there was a polystyrene box with a GoPro inside it. And the weird thing was, there was a McDonald's burger attached to the front of it. So,
oh no.
Well, he's turned it over trying to work out what to do.
Yeah.
And there was a phone that rang. So
within it. Right.
So the YouTuber was on the other end of the line, and he told them that he'd, basically found the burger.
Yeah.
I think there must have been a phone number as well, do you know what I mean?
Ring Tom if you find it.
Yeah. So Tom got in, got in his car.
Yeah.
He found the burger. Basically, it had gone up 24 miles into space. And he just basically took 3 hours, got down to the football ground and retrieved it. And
Where is it, in the museum now?
No, he ate it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Did it taste like space?
I have no idea. If you want to check out the video, though, I'm pretty sure that he's covered the whole thing. He's a YouTuber, so check him out.
Have a look, man.
Yeah. So, anything you want to talk about this week?
Oh, yeah, there's an important thing. And it's happening tonight.
What's happening, bro?
I'm afraid...
No, don't. You're saying something bad now. I don't want to know.
Yeah, I am. But, as usual, it usually comes to nothing on these kind of cases. Well, basically, the sun's burst a lot of energy out the other day.
Another corona mass ejection.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Are we going to all lose internet and...
Well, if you have problems on Saturday night, then...
Saturday night now?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm alright. We're not doing too bad.
Well, yeah, at the moment. But it's one of them. It's been getting stronger, basically, on its quiet period.
It's
still on its quiet period. So what you're saying... still firing a shitload out.
So what you're saying is, if this is its quiet period, what's going to happen... in its
noisy
period
as well. Period,
yeah,
we're coming to that in a couple of years now, I think.
Yeah, well, when's it due? To is it a couple of years?
I know
or
it's
it like
an 11-year quiet period, and then it builds up again for I believe another 11 years. And then
do you know
when
the sun? Right, obviously the sun. They always say about it burning out. Right, at some point in the future,
4 billion years.
Well, how do they know? How have they got that figure?
We'd be dead before that, though, because
obviously,
Well, no, not necessarily.
No, do you mean the whole human race as a species?
All the planets near enough, because you'll know it's dying because it grows, and it grows and it takes out.
Ah, right.
Because
it turns into a white, a red giant.
Yeah,
and then
it could turn into quite a number of things. Nowadays, it could end up black hole. red dwarf, white dwarf.
Well, I thought it was a cycle, so it'd go a red giant, and depends then because it expands, and yeah. then it would implode on itself, creating a yeah. white dwarf. I'm not 100% on that.
Yeah,
so
it depends on the elements.
We'll have
and
to ask the scientists at Pint of Science.
Hey, that's yeah. that's true. That yeah. Well, that's a question to give to me. We'll have to remember on.
Yeah. So go on.
So yeah, apparently spotted a hole on the sun surface called AR2736. Spotted it for a while and then it's burst, basically.
Right. Okay.
So the cameras, NASA cameras and that are around there shows a lot of mass ejection, basically. So there's a possibility it could scrape us. It could do. Fuck all,
we get bombarded with this every day. I mean, at the end of the yeah. day, but it's just the it's like I think when it
but not this strong.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying yeah. though. But the, I mean, it can't be a risk, can it?
Well, it can actually, and the reason why it's a risk is because our magnetic field is like
it's locked. All over the yeah. place at the minute. Isn't
and
it?
If you have a look at some of the some of the science models of what's been going on over the last couple hours and stuff. You can see, I mean, it was not that long ago that our protection layer was past the satellites, which right. is only 250 miles above us.
Mm.
So they had no protection near enough, and we nearly lost, like, you know, a lot of stuff. We did lose some satellites, but not a lot.
Right, okay.
But,
is that why they've been sending all... I mean, I wonder, actually, how many satellites are out there, because I know they just recently sent a load more out.
Possibly 250.
It's crazy, apparently. That. I mean, obviously, they go on about kind of, like, drawing attention.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like blatantly obvious if another species was to pass,
yeah,
they'd just go, yeah. well, there's blatantly life there. We don't yeah. even have to go down because we can already see that they've got orbiting satellites.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, yeah,
so there's got to be a level of intelligence there. There's a yeah. flag on that moon.
Yeah, you know well, I mean? Yeah, yeah.
If you believe that sort of thing.
Well, that's true. That's
well,
true.
NASA have just basically an administrator statement. Administrator statement on returning to back to the moon in 5 years has just been released following Jim Bridenstine on Tuesday's announcement by Vice President Mike Pence after a fifth meeting of the National Science Council about putting American astronauts back on the moon within the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So yeah. They basically turn around and says they want to get American astronauts back on the moon. We are tasked with landing on the moon's south pole by 2024, and they say stay on schedule for flying expedition mission 1 with Orion on the Space Launch System SLS rockets next year. So that's Elon Musk's rockets, I take
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
so,
I think yeah, he took a picture of one today, actually.
Did they?
Yeah, he was, I think it's on Twitter or something. He's took a sneaky picture of his new rocket and gone, yeah, see what I've got here.
Mm. Well, NASA have continued to basically say they will continue to use all means necessary to ensure mission success in moving Good. Forward to get back to the moon.
Good.
So it's they said that it's the right time for this challenge, and I assume the Vice President and the people at NASA are up for the challenge.
Yes, well, realistically, it won't be them. It'd be private companies that have been connected.
Well, no,
NASA.
Well, no. But what they're saying is, I mean, this has come from Trump. Trump's basically, it's his bold vision.
Oh yeah, yeah,
for space
yeah.
exploration, and like you know, he spoke to NASA's people, yeah. and he wants to get it done. President's Space Policy Directive. That's
well,
what
I remember the little whisper that there was.
It's a Star Corps directive. Yeah. What was it, the Red Dwarf, man, with what's it, Space Corps Directives?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can see Trump saying it wrong.
I could see Trump getting a lot of them wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He won't read the manual, he doesn't need to.
He'd be crying
else
in the background going, no, sir, that's a Space Corps Directive. What? No, no walls being built in Mexico.
Yeah.
What are you on about? Anyway, could baffle and waffle in a bit. Anything else you want to talk about? I know you're dying to talk. About what's happening with the Brexit at the moment.
Brexit, yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Like I said, I had to put my champagne away again. I can't believe it. I want to drink that bottle like fuck now.
Just drink it.
No, because I'm waiting to be
like,
free before I can do
I'm
that.
Free.
You know what I mean? I'm waiting to get out of jail card.
Wait a minute.
And it just ain't working.
If tonight's topic's to be believed, though,
It won't matter.
It won't matter anyway, would
well,
it?
Well, actually, I've got a question at the end of that one. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, basically, she put her thing back in, her deal. Well, half of it, basically. And they voted 58 against her again, which is getting less and less and less. I mean, give it another couple of months, she'll fucking have it. But we haven't got a couple of months.
No, yet. I know.
If we do go, well, basically, we've got to be out by the 12th of April. If we make a deal to the 22nd, which if her deal went through, it would have been to the 22nd, and then everything legal would have been done.
I tell you what, though, she's got patience. She must have a lot of patience, that Theresa May. I'm not being funny. I mean, regardless of what you think about her, right?
Yeah.
She's gone in time and time and time again.
Yeah, but she put in the same deal.
Well, is she putting the same deal? Fact is, well, if she's putting the same deal, she's made that deal to... She's actually gone over to Brussels.
They've made that deal.
I know.
She hasn't.
That's what
she
I said this down. A couple of weeks ago. There was some shady sort of backroom deal going on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, she's been trying to push this deal in, right? But
and
that's what she was there for. That's what she was tasked with, getting us out of Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That's what she came up with.
Let's say... We lived together, we had a contract, we lived together for so long, and then the contract was, I wanted to leave, I've got a new house.
Are you talking about getting a divorce?
Yes.
Oh my God,
I'm
go
sorry.
Go
right,
on.
And in the contract, I say, right, guys, I'm going to leave the house, and promise I won't take anything apart from my stuff, and I'll pay you this, that, and the other, right?
Alimony, baby.
Yeah, yeah. And I leave.
But like, I'm not married to this guy.
But with that leave, I come back and I take fucking everything. And there's fuck all you could do about it, because I had a little clause in that bottom of the contract because it wasn't legal. And that's all we asked for, was it to be legal and that they get rid of the backstop.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Well, no, that was
and
the
she
problem,
went back and she didn't do it.
Ireland thing with the kind of that's the problem with half of it being...
Article 24.
Half of it being... Like, you know, their own thing, and half of it being part of the UK.
But the law brought
it
out, Article 24.
It's hard, it's a very difficult situation to be in.
Not really, they've made it difficult because we put our balls in their pockets.
What I say is just like, you know, at the end of the day, before we were in the European Union, we were in the common market, right? We could still trade, go back to that. That'd sort all that out, it wouldn't matter because.
Well,
like,
but you can't go in the market with Europe because they won't allow it, because they need to have a set of rules, which is open borders, which is you have to pay these prices. We do basically the deals for you, and whatever deal we make for you, you have to leave it a lump it. You know what I mean? It's just a case of dictation.
Yeah, of
dictation
course it is.
Shit,
yeah,
basically.
And the thing is, it's like again, I keep seeing this on the TV, and it's pissing me off a bit. Yeah, right. The mainstream media just keep playing the race thing on the Brexit, and it's not about that.
No, it's about power.
It's not about immigration. It's not about, as far as I'm concerned, anyway.
It's totally.
It's like they've gone.
There will be
the
some
BBC
that will be like that, though.
Have gone out and they've got 100 sound bites from a variety of people, right? And then they've cherry picked the sound bites want to play, and it's not right, mate.
Yeah.
It's like you should be giving us a wide demographic of opinion, not just pumping your. Well, this is what people believe, and it's not. Some people believe it, a percentage of people believe it, but I don't believe that the whole of the UK believe that the Brexit is just about immigration law.
It's just
and
quite
shit.
Easy for them to turn around and say, that's racism. It's like, what part of it's racism?
I had a really interesting conversation last week about, about this sort of. Attitude about offending people and what's PC and right?
PC
so,
can fuck
in
off
my opinion, right, it's like you're entitled to do whatever you want,
exactly.
Right, in your life, right?
You just don't be a dick.
But what my friend was saying to me was, if I think, wow, you're weird, right, and that offends you, right, I'm sorry, but
that's
I'm entitled
opinion.
To my opinion. Yeah. And it's like, if I think, that guy's weird for whatever reason, yeah, right, then you can't. Well, the fact that you're offended by what I've said offends me.
Yeah, because you're making a big issue about it.
So why do your feelings matter more than my feelings? And it's this.
Well, yeah, and not only that, you start affecting other people's feelings around you because it starts bringing shit up, and then
saying this term, which I'm not even going to say, but it basically just means that you're soft, right? Yeah. And you should harden up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But it's like people aren't as sensitive as they're made out to believe because it's the media.
They just quick to jump on.
The media have got this worry that if they put something on the TV, that they've got to be sensitive because a certain selection of the population might be offended by it.
Yeah,
so they've
got to
try and cut out all that. Yeah. Right, but that's bled into real life. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
where everyone's got to be really worried about what everyone else is saying because you don't want to step on eggshells around people because you might offend someone.
Well, that's...
I'd like to think that if anyone was offended by anything we'd say, they'd say something.
Yeah, well, I hope they do.
Or if they do, then fine.
Yeah.
But the fact is, that says to me that people aren't rather listening, and if you are offended by something, then stop listening.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you agree, then that means your sensibilities are just as kind of
you're
the same as
mine. You're making your choice
either
to stay or go. Make your choice.
Yeah.
If you like what we say, then come and
anyway,
listen.
Anyway, we're getting off topic because I think in terms of like the society we're living in at the moment, it's twisted up to the point where nobody kind of understands
what's going on.
Yeah. Even the people who are paid to get on TV and tell you what's going on in politics and tell you what's going on in a nutshell don't have a fucking clue.
Yeah, right?
And they'll say it openly
TV.
Do you know what I mean? Well, what's happening with the Brexit this week? Don't know.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
So, same shit,
just different day.
Anyway. Anything else you want to talk about before we move on? Because it gets me angry, bruv.
I know, it winds me the fuck up.
And then we're
going to
get complaints.
I tell you, if I don't get an heart attack soon, then I'll be fucking glad.
Yeah, I've got this story here. A man with a science degree really truly believes the Earth is flat. Now, Savan, 23, is part of a growing community of flat earthers in London who share the same belief that we're being fooled by science. Yeah. A conspiracy theorist, he's from East London, and he's outlined this far-fetched view of the Earth, and it's actually flat. So,
how old is he, what, seven?
He's 23.
23?
The kid's got a science degree, right?
And hasn't been out and seen the world
yet. But he says that his science degree's kind of helped him prove to himself, as well as other people, that this is true. He says, couldn't curl into a ball like that, he told My London, and gravity, even with gravity, it's impossible.
What the fuck? So, well, he does know, doesn't he, that science changes all the time.
Of course it does. And
it doesn't necessarily have to be true information.
Because it's funny, though, because there's a theory from Hawking where he actually goes on about, and we're going to get into this tonight, because he talks about not only the Earth being flat, but the universe itself.
That I could believe more than the Earth being flat, to be honest, because if you think about it,
actually observe things within our universe.
If you were in space, you would still look left, right, front, but you don't generally in space look up or down.
That's what I was saying.
You know what
I mean? Have you got any concept of direction in space? We only have direction. We only have time.
Because
it's located to what we perceive on this planet.
Yeah, time and speed is connected.
Again, I think the flat Earth thing's coming in quite a lot, and I think more and more people are believing it, and I don't understand why. I just think that people... It's a question that you can stump people with because you can't answer it either way.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the flat earthers have an opportunity to try and prove it to us, right? Because if what they're saying is right...
Then there's a ship going out there or something.
Yeah, there is. There's a boat going out. We talked about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy who's planning an expedition. But...
Plan away.
If you believe that the Earth's flat, this ice wall and continents beyond, or even an edge... Right?
Yeah.
Then you should be able to get there.
Yeah, but the problem there
you
is...
You can get there. You can go, you can do it. Do yeah, it. But, chart an expedition. Yeah, prove me wrong.
You must have seen on the internet and pictures in different places where it's got fucking big wall there. And it's like, yeah, that was posted in there. That was just doctored in there.
No, there is a big ice walls. I'm not saying there isn't ice walls, but you, it's
they're
a vast,
only going to pick one and
it's
go.
It's a vast continent, right? And at the end of the day, yeah, glaciers split, they break, the yeah. kind of like, yeah, yeah. you know, if you've ever seen an
sink
earthquake,
as well.
How land sinks and more land
yeah.
rises,
yeah, yeah.
creating ice walls. We've got our White Cliffs of Dover, mate,
yeah.
right? How do you think they formed,
yeah.
right? But the thing about ice is it's a bit more malleable than White Cliffs of Dover,
yeah.
do you know what I mean? Or any sort of big cliff range.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? So it forms the same way,
yeah,
yeah, but... What they're saying is, that's the wall. We'll go beyond that, climb up it.
Yeah.
Yeah, prove it. Get yeah. past it. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally
Once
agree.
You've done that, and you can prove to mainstream science that that is legit, then...
Well, it mustn't be that important, because a rich person hasn't gone out and tried it yet.
Well,
so...
no, because it's the biggest treaty in the world, isn't it? It's the most long-standing treaty that only you're only allowed to go out there
yeah.
if you're military,
yeah.
science,
yeah, yeah.
or... Kanye West.
Yeah, but
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
Elton John.
It doesn't stop you from going in another direction. If well, it's straight, if it's flat,
yeah,
go in
yeah,
another
yeah.
direction.
Go the other way.
Go
exactly.
in the ocean and go in a deep direction.
Good point. Good
if there's an ice wall in the fucking
yeah,
ocean,
it'll go
like
all
that.
The way around,
yeah.
won't it? Yeah, you don't have to go to Antarctica.
Yeah. Look for the edge of the bowl.
Yeah, good. Well,
yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, right. I like it.
Like, not just go on. I mean,
I never thought
go
of
the
it
other
like
way.
That.
Yeah, you
well,
know what I mean? There's different directions.
Oh, yeah, we'll sneak round them.
Yeah. yeah, you know what I mean? Forget
there you go. There you go, flat earthers.
Yeah.
Have a bit of that.
Go in the ocean. Fucking drown, I think.
Yeah. A big dinker.
Yeah, no, I don't hope you drown. If you find something, tell us first.
Well, he reckons this is it's all controlled by the Illuminati. He said JFK talked about the Illuminati, and so did Michael Jackson, so that's plausible.
Yeah, but so we all know the Illuminati are there anyway. We don't know that there's an ice wall in the fucking ocean, though, do
no,
we?
No, that's true. And as well, if there is...
We're on the back
know,
of the
like,
turtle,
it's the case of the... do you know when you think about... the European Union flag,
yeah,
which is or is it's the flat earth map, isn't it?
No,
which one's that? It's the what flag's that then?
The UN flag,
yeah
has,
the UN
or the plant or the country, well, most of the countries in on it,
but it's the flat earth map,
yeah, technically, yeah,
yeah, it's the polarized version of the map world,
yeah.
and it's polarized and put on the flag, and it's a fucking flat earth map.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
that's
it,
weird.
Yeah,
right.
Well, if you look at it in that way, then those from California, what go to Japan, they've got to go a fucking long, they're the furthest away.
From where? The edge of the earth?
Yeah, to go to the other side.
Yeah,
to get to Japan, and yet it's shorter time. How did you work that one out? You know what I mean? It's just a case of, what, do you go through a wormhole or something? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying it's not plausible. Well, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Just getting up the flag for Taylor just to have a look. Now that,
yeah,
that is how they, you know, the flat earth maps.
Well, that one looks more like Pangaea when
well,
we were all
well,
together.
Well, when Pangaea was there, like you say, it all was one continent, wasn't it? And
yeah.
then it was adrift, so,
yeah, yeah,
you know.
It drifted. And, and where would all the excess water go and stuff like this?
Where would all the dinosaurs go? Never mind the water.
In the space.
So, yeah.
Or dig a hole and sleep there and then the world collapses on them and go, ah, oh, I've got away from that dome. Thank you.
Oh, I've got one more story before... Have you got anything else you want to talk about?
Nah, go for it.
I've got one more story and this is a health warning story.
Okay.
Right? So, I've got friends who drink Monster Energy. Oh, I don't want to say any brands, but like Monster, fucking Red Bull.
You know what I'm about to do now, don't you?
What, Rockstar, all of these energy drinks. Go on, he's going to crack one open.
I need it tonight.
Right. Well, a teacher has posted on Facebook saying basically this is what happens when you drink 6 energy drinks a day. And he's basically talking about energy drink addiction.
Yeah.
So he's posted a photo with major blisters and peeling away of his tongue, right?
What
he says the damage done to his tongue is a result of consuming energy drinks, right? Bam Royals drank at least 6 energy drinks a day.
That's nice, that is.
Giving damage to his tongue, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, basically he's saying this, if this is what it's done to my tongue, imagine what it's done to my internal organs.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
I do know that it's bad for your veins.
It is bad for you.
It is bad for your veins.
I should really just say, don't drink them, right?
To be honest, yeah, I totally agree. All the time, you shouldn't.
No, every now and again, occasionally, but anything in moderation, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, moderation is the key.
I think what my argument is like, well, firstly, I read an article a while back saying that about one of these factories that produces an energy drink.
Oh yeah.
The piping that is in the actually in the factory needs replacing every 6 months because it corrodes. The chemicals in the drink corrode the it's rather metal or a plastic or something, isn't
it? Yeah.
Right. I doubt they'd use plastic because of contamination, but so I assume it's a metal pipe work, right?
Yeah.
Needs to be replaced every 6 months, right?
Fuck that.
As far as this article was concerned, right? So it always made me think, wow, what's that doing to your internals? Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, so, we were talking about this before, weren't we? About, like, I mean, your acid in your stomach is like one of the most corrosive things on earth, and. But the layer of the stomach must be that strong to, you know, hold that. So that wouldn't be a problem for the drink. But your pipes, that's another thing. Your mouth, that's another thing, because that isn't designed to hold that kind of chemical reaction. But at the end of the day, we're getting chemicals in nearly everything now, including fruit, you know what I mean?
There's citric acids in fruit, isn't there? Yeah. So, but that's bad for your teeth, but he was saying...
Yeah, but there's other chemicals
He says in these drinks, they can contain up to 13 tablespoons of sugar.
Yeah.
And when he went to his doctor, he said that obviously the excessive sugar and the various chemicals found in the energy drinks were likely to blame for his flesh being eaten away.
You know what? You know I'm going to do a test with this. Right. I bought 2 cans of this stuff not that long ago. Yeah.
What?
About 2 months ago.
Energy drink?
Yeah. About 2 months ago. I haven't touched one. I've just opened one now.
Right.
But it was for occasions like this. Like I'm,
when he's a bit lethargic.
Yeah, I was a bit ill yesterday. What I do with my other can, I'm going to hold on for it for 6 months. Let's see if it starts corroding it.
What, corroding the can?
The can, at one point or another, if it's corroding pipes, then
I don't
it's
know.
Going to corrode the
maybe,
can.
Maybe it's a different kind, they've had to kind of use a
down.
Special kind of tin.
Well, yeah, they might need the most powerful, they need to move the product from one place to another, so if it's a corroding stuff, it'd be them pipes.
Well, I doubt it would corrode it. I don't think it's going to corrode through a tin after 6 months, but you don't know what the inside of that can looks like.
Or layered. Well, you do if you open it.
Well, maybe they put a coating. I don't know. Well, it's an experiment, isn't it? Keep hold of it. Let us know.
See
what happens.
Goes on, yeah.
Well, that's it. It's the dangers. The dangers of these things. Yeah, I've got to warn you, haven't we? Well,
2020.
What? 2020?
It's going to last till 2020.
Well, that's only next year. It's less than a
year. Oh, yeah, I think
it's less than a year now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's still a year.
Yeah.
So then you wouldn't put a stamp for 2020 if it was six months.
That's what I'm saying. But it's like you don't know what they're making the. I don't know. That's what I'm
I
saying.
Think
it
it's
was
the
a report that.
Part being
yeah. It was a report that I read.
Yeah.
And I thought, do you know, obviously it's not nice, is it? Well, anyway, I'm gonna go move on to the main topic
subject.
For tonight. The main subject. And tonight we're going to talk, we're going to discuss and question whether we live in a matrix or not, in a computer simulation, a virtual reality. Now, firstly, ever since the movie, it's not even been a question since the movie, it was a question way before that, right? And we're going to go into a couple of the, and in fact, I'll talk about that now, because there's been so many kind of like a few that I found about cultures and, you know, people from the past who had kind of a theory on this sort of thing. Right?
Yeah.
So you've heard Descartes, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but I think therefore I am. Right.
Yeah.
So obviously that's a philosophical question
that
says, well, I know that I can think and I know that
I'm here.
Or I know that my thoughts are real because I'm thinking them right now.
Yeah.
But what about the physical aspect of reality and you and the every object and touch and feel and smell and everything your senses tell you,
yeah,
right, whether that's real or not,
yeah,
right. So when I was looking into my research, found like the Greeks had come up with a concept called let me see if I can get this right, solipsism. Yeah.
Solipsism.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right. So they simply put, solipsism says that you cannot know whether anything aside your own mind is true. Yeah.
Right.
And the only thing that you can be 100% sure of is that your mind exists and thinking the things that it's thinking. But everything else is false. Everything you touch, everything you feel, everything you see, everything you hear. Your brain could, for all you know, so for your brain, for all you know, could be stuck in a jar, in a fucking mad professor's lab, being electrocuted and putting synapses running through it, and everything you're thinking is just a kind of byproduct of that.
Everyone knows, most people know that, when you look, it's actually reversed because your eyes your brain has to interpret it and reverse it.
Well, how a camera works is like the light hits the mirror and flips it, and then you perceive it. Your brain kind of like can see it.
Change the format that it means something to you. Because like I said, 20% of what you actually look at is right. The rest of it's interpreted by your brain. But then again,
you seem a bit confused.
because you're conscious.
Yes.
Scientists were just saying not that long ago that it holds 95% of what you do, what you think, what you control.
Yeah, but that's what we're saying. It's like
you've got a minimum of 5 milliseconds to make a decision before it makes a decision for you.
Right, so basically your brain will just do it anyway.
It's not, so in that regard,
you could get away with anything. You just say, no, it weren't me, I couldn't make the decision, so my body just instinctively did it.
Yeah, but then you've got to prove you weren't making the decision, and you actually left it to... Well, true.
Well, Hindus also have a concept called Maya, simply put. It's a philosophy that claims the whole universe is an illusion. This means that you feel, whatever you feel isn't real.
Yeah.
Basically, it's soft to me is rough to you. Do you know what I mean? It's like, have you ever had that argument where you say, well, how do you know the colour blue is what I see the colour blue as?
Well, you don't. You actually don't, because there was a thing that red was actually orange back in the day, but then they interpret it and change.
That's why Haribo keep trying to fuck everyone up by making the strawberry ones green.
But every time you look at, let's say you look at a red picture, you'll interpret that in a certain red, right? I will look at that and interpret it in a different red, but it's the same red.
Well, it's people who are colourblind. So and that's what I think, because like when people talk about whether we live in a matrix or not, I always think it comes down to two things, right?
Mm.
Right, well, firstly, right, you need a computer, right, to power a simulation, right? And then you think your brain is the most complex computer on the planet that we know of, right? And it decodes light that hits an object and we translate that and make sense of it, right? So, what we see isn't
what we see.
Because we're just seeing a kind of a made up fucking
version of
our brain can fathom as a reality. Do you know what I mean? So in one respect, we are living in a computer simulation of some sorts, because we're decoding reality around us.
Yeah, and we're not in full control in reality.
I'm not using up any energy looking around and seeing everything I see in the world. It's all doing it for me, right?
But it's programmed.
It's my brain, right? When they say people about saying about you're using only 5% of your brain,
it's bollocks.
Well, I'm not being funny, right? But like, it does hundreds and millions of fucking billions of interactions and firing synapses every second, right? So, no, I do believe that we do use...
Don't get me wrong.
Only using 5% of our brain, then fuck me, mate. With full capacity, we should have a lot going on.
Well, this is a thing that I used to believe it was 10% because it was studied that it was 10%, but then other studies come out afterwards saying, because they've been things are happening in different areas, it's not necessarily 10%, and then it's worked out more and more. And it's not the case that it's the percentage of being used, it's the when it's being used, the usage of an area.
You don't know how much, there's been studies, but I mean, in terms of how much your brain's doing while you're asleep, do you know what I mean? Obviously in subconscious levels, could be working out a lot of problems because, you know, obviously dreams are supposed to be able to, you know, give you a bit of substance in terms of what's going on with you.
A study's just come out and claimed that your brain doesn't actually sleep when you go to bed.
No, I don't think it does.
Well, no, originally it slept, but all those controllable of breathing and stuff like that kept open.
Of course. Yeah. Well, no, your brain...
But everything else that it wasn't needed was closing down. But now the studies are turning
around
and
saying... Like a soft reboot.
Yeah. But now they're saying they don't close down at all. Maybe, like, 5% may close down, but apart from that, it's still viral. It's just you're not thinking...
What you need to do, right, in what would be really handy, right, would being able to kind of shut down pain receptors whilst asleep. That'd be handy as a species. No, it would, wouldn't it? Because obviously it's like a lot of problem if you're in pain is the fact that you can't sleep, which makes it worse because you get run down and it makes you tired, which makes your pain worse.
But, hold on, but... Why you got to answer the question.
And if you're murdered in the night, you won't feel anything.
That's true.
Double benefit.
But that's your body telling you there's something wrong.
Yeah, but that's why you have dreams.
Then if you're ignoring that, your body's going to only be able to give you so much indication that there's something wrong with you. And if you don't answer that call, then the next steps that happen is down to you at the end of the day.
You sounded like... Really, you know, like, you were going to recruit me for some high level.
No, George, you're my cult. Got a new cult going.
When you get the call, you've got to respond.
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that. Really off topic.
Yeah.
I got a new phone number, my last three digits are 911. Only call me an emergency, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Going back to topic, in 2016, Elon Musk. In an Elon Musk interview, he actually said he thinks it's almost certain that we live in a some sort of virtual reality or a matrix simulation. In fact, he believes that there's one in a billion chance that reality as we know it is a computer simulation. And he goes on to say that 40 years ago, we had Pong.
Yeah
it was two lines and a dot. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where we are now, 40 years later... Do you know what I mean?
It's phenomenal.
We've got photorealistic 3D simulations.
Yeah.
Right? Even computer games
are
getting just ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, if we talk about Pong, Pong's like one of those games that, you know, like it's...
Yeah, it's like...
It's the most primitive version of computers of a game. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when I mean, a kid of the 80s.
Yeah.
Right? I remember this stuff coming into the home first... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like your home computers, like your Spectrums and your Commodores and those type of things. And we thought they were fucking amazing.
Yeah. I remember the first PlayStation. This is changing everything.
Compared to Pong,
the
graphics were amazing.
I like Tempel.
Right? Now, we're skip a couple of decades later... And we're getting stuff like Red Dead Redemption. We're getting
GTA.
We're getting
Battlefield.
We're getting whole cities and whole continents of crazy kind of realism. Do you know what I mean?
Now, but the problem with that is in the format of The Matrix, it's the street A, street B answer again.
We were going on about this because it's kind of Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, imagine, the way you describe it is...
Walk down street A,
yeah,
and you've got everything around you, people, you know, chatting away, cars going by and blah, blah, this, that and the other. Turn the corner and go down street B.
Yeah.
Will street A be alive? No, they'd be gone.
Well, no, in theory, but in there's a way of testing that, isn't there? Because you could be on street
A. That's the way computers
work. I could be on street
now.
B. I could be ringing you up and saying, what can you see? And you can tell me and I can tell you what I see because... It'd have to be two streets.
Well, yeah, but the strength...
But then you'd think, well, who's on street C?
But it's all about the power that they take away from street A can be used for street B, for the
like
visuals
rolling,
and to make things
obviously
better.
It's like computer games when you're driving down the street. It's not that you can see the mountain range in the distance, but you know, obviously you can't get there. You know, it's weird, isn't it? It's like how... That graphic generates because it's needed.
Yeah.
In terms of kind of like a programming a universe, right? If we ever came to a point where we were say we were in a computer simulation, right? Now, I like this. I like the way I thought about it because imagine we're on an island, right? And all we can observe around this island is ocean, right? All we've got is a palm tree, right? So we look out onto the ocean and we think, there's got to be more than this. Got to be, right? So,
But
we've got an observe. At that point, I don't know how I got here. I've got amnesia. Coconut smacked me on the head.
Yeah.
I've washed up on the fucking island. I have no idea. And all I know is that there's got to be something out there, right?
Yeah.
So,
must be.
I chop my tree down, I make a boat,
right,
and I sail off.
Right. Okay.
Now, at that point, I don't know if there's land ahoy or there's more anything.
Yeah.
There's anything out there, yeah? But I'm hoping there is. So I get in my boat and I paddle out and all of a sudden I hit land, right?
Yeah.
Now, once we've explored all that land and we've gone all around the world and the whole world's been explored, we're back to square one because we're looking out into the sky then going, well, there's got to be more than this.
Yeah.
Right? And we can only observe what we can see, right? So the point being is once we've got to a point where we can't see any further, what's the point in simulating any further? Once we branch out and get that little bit further, then you can write program and get, you know, figure. So it doesn't have to be a whole universe. It just has to be an observable universe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then observing is a problem as well now. Because down to the quantum levels, you've seen the idea of the splitting card, turning like particles from waves to particles once you visualise them, and it's like it's a weird fucking thing, man.
It is. It's kind of like it is a mad philosophical question. You don't know unless you see it. And it's like, if you see it, it could be different. So it's like going back to Elon Musk, he just basically says here, you know, obviously the Pong thing, that was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Where we're going to be in 40 years' time. Do you know what I mean?
Rate we're going at the minute.
Well, the rate, I started having a look into this, actually, right? Because I thought, well, the rate of, like, computing power.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Moore's Law.
Yeah, it's Moore's Law, right? And, you know, I had a look into that, so we'll have a look into that in a second. But go on, you were talking about the slit experiment.
Yeah, well basically you fired a particle. I've been watching it since
I'm just kind of thinking, how does that play into the...
Well, because 10 to the 33... looking at atoms and stuff like that, you can only go to the 33. You can't go any further. When it goes to that, things go weird.
How do you mean?
It's the quantum world, basically.
Oh right. Things go, if you go like Ant-Man shit. It's we're going Infinity Wars now. Right, so once we're into the quantum realm...
Yeah, then things don't work the way they're supposed to work with, like, gravity and stuff
that. Oh, yeah, I'm sure, because obviously it's a subatomic level, isn't it? Yeah. So,
But like the split experiment was phased in by Thomas Young in 1803.
Yeah.
And no one like sort of believed him at the time. So what they did in the as time was going by was it's like in get a bath, put a piece of card with one slit in it,
yeah,
and put it in the bath and do some ripples on one side of it. When it goes through the other side, look at the ripples.
Oh, right? yeah.
And it comes out as like basically one.
Yeah.
So put two slits in there.
Yeah.
And do the same experiment. Watch how many waves it changes. It changes from
Do it with light, don't they? They do it with lasers, and they basically said it kind of like it's a light, it's a wave and a particle
yeah, because stream. It's a wave if you don't look at it, but if you look at it, it's a particle.
Well, I think it's how you kind of, you can break it down, I think. It's how, like, do you know, it's like when you look at a rainbow.
Yeah.
And a rainbow's refracted light, isn't
it?
So I think it's how the light's manipulated, so it's been, so you're using the slits to kind of split.
They were thinking of that, yeah, because if you do it through the two holes, fire one particle at two slits.
Yeah, it comes back out as one slit, doesn't it?
No, it comes out severed.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I knew there was a difference. It grows bigger. Yeah, right.
And you can notice it if you do, like, the bath experiment.
So what you're basically saying is it's like reality's not kind of the same, not really kind of how you perceive it, or is it kind of like...
No, because it's like get an atom, right? And split that atom. When you split that atom, you turn it into... One sec, I've got to make sure I've got this right. You turn it into a... photon, right?
Yeah.
So when it splits, it goes in either direction.
Right.
These two photons, right? As they go further and further, they are spinning. They're spinning because they don't know what direction, because no one's looking at it.
Right.
So, yeah, I know it's weird. So, they spin.
Attention-seeking motherfucker. Yeah.
Well, it gets weirder, though. So, they're spinning fucking any direction, and they're not looking at, like, and they're going further and further apart, right? Now, anywhere between here and the end of the universe, as we know it, right, these can change. So, as soon as someone looks at one of them, and say, looks at it, and it points up, right? The other one will automatically, on the other side of the universe...
Point down. Yeah.
At the same time, near enough. So that beats the speed of light theory. Well, because they did this experiment
No, there's a thing saying that, that you know, obviously matter and antimatter are connected, like, or... You know, one particle in this side of the universe is connected somehow to one on the other side.
Yeah, that's
And, you know, you know, I don't understand why that's kind of...
Because when you go to the quantum realm, it
the realm.
Everything that you know about science gets thrown out the window, and you've got to refigurate
everything. So how does this play into the Matrix?
Because there are scientists who've turned around stating now that they've calculated and gone further down, and you believe that it's ones and zeros right at the bottom.
Yeah, so like a program. But the thing is about that, a binary, we live in a binary universe. Everything's
There's
binary.
There's got to be another thing. Yeah.
Well, no, it's like, no, but right.
Binary can't be the end of computer programming.
No, that's the basic.
Yeah.
The basic.
But it
level.
Could be even basicer than that. Right. Making it more basic.
It's so basic.
Or you could move up to the next stage.
Obviously, right. Like, these levels of programming.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's a bit of a coincidence that on this level that we live in a binary star system, there's, like, binary code. You know, everything's kind of like ones and zeros, right? So, I mean, Stephen Hawking, he's another one, right? He believes in... Well, I say he believed in this sort of theory, because on his last words were that, you know, we could be living in a computer simulation.
I thought my battery was running out.
He said when he was looking at the universe, who developed, like, he was, like, involved in developing multiverse theory.
Yeah.
But he said something along the lines of, like, a hologramic simulation or a vast 3D illusion would be more likely. Hawkins, who died in March 14, 2018.
R.I.P.
He had always sort of, you know, looked into these theories and the way the universe worked. And he felt like, but he felt a bit troubled by the idea, like, of the widely believed scientific theory that the tiny, you know, fraction of the second after the Big Bang was the reason that we kind of exist, you know, like the inflation principle, right? He said that, you know, the inflation principle and the multiverse theory just weren't kind of there, So Hawkins basically thought that Einstein's theory of relativity, you couldn't marry it up with them, do you know what I mean? You couldn't get any of them to kind of unite and be like a one unified theory.
Just didn't fit the pattern.
And in an interview last year, he was basically said he wasn't a fan of the multiverse theory, and he was working with a Belgian colleague called Professor Thomas Herget.
Yes, I remember he was working with someone.
Hawkins gave the theory of a holographic reality to explain how the universe came into being. It's pretty far out. So basically what he was saying, so the new theory embraces the strange idea that the universe is like a vast complex hologram, and what we know as 3D reality is nothing more than illusion and solid, like, world around us. Time and basically everything is just information stored on a flat 2D surface. So like I was saying earlier about it being a flat surface, flat universe. Let's see, we can go even better. You know, in flat Earth, we're in a flat universe.
Flat universe. I'm more likely to believe that one than flat Earth.
So, Hawking, the Hawking and Herget's variation of the holographic theory overcomes the problems combining essential inflation theory with general relativity. Basically, what they're saying is, it don't matter. It don't matter if you've got these and they don't marry up, because this new theory just kind of goes, fuck you.
Well, you
don't even need to listen to you anymore.
That is
true. Well, so basically, he's saying we're not down to a single unique universe. His findings imply that that's a significant reduction in that sort of area of being in a multiverse. We're to a much smaller range of possibilities. So basically saying that we're probably just a number of universes, not millions of universes.
That's a hard question, because there's the question of forever. You know what I mean?
But that's what I was saying about observable universe. It's like he's saying that, you know, you can't think of it as like we're a single unique universe. There's got to be loads of them, but not as many as you'd think. We're quite unique, but not all that unique. Do you know what I mean?
On an experiment level, if someone was experimenting with us, they'd only want a certain amount of experiments anyway.
Well, that's...
So there'd have to be a certain...
That's a very good point, because if you were kind of a scientist and, like, you know, you want to do an experiment...
Yeah.
It's like a...
You're only going to do as many as you need, not going to do fucking trillions just for the one.
What was he called? Mangala.
Mangala.
He did twin experiments, because he needed a benchmarker.
Then
he'd have somebody to experiment on, and he had, like, a controlled experiment.
Yeah.
So you've got somebody who you don't experiment on, the other one you do, and then you can see the adverse effects against the healthy subject. So, you know, in terms of,
NASA did, I think, last year when they sent a twin up into space.
And then when he came down, he was, like, genetically different. He was actually genetically different. That's crazy.
So Mangala, he was looking in a certain right area, but he was just a sick bastard.
Yeah, so when you're talking about kind of simulations, if you were running a simulation, you'd want to run multiple simulations, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd only need as many as you need at that time.
Yeah, but that's a good argument against, you know, when people turn around about religion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they say, oh, if there was a God, yeah, then why would he allow all this shit to happen? Why would he make a world where people are impoverished and these people who do have money but they don't share it and these basically fucking hunger and death and all the rest of the bad
people
shit.
Need to learn.
Yeah, now people always argue, oh, there's a lot of good. Yeah, right?
But, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, if you were creating a simulation,
yeah,
right, and you wanted to experiment on our kind of
culture,
you know, do a cultural sort of thing and yeah, see how people would react in certain situations, then you'd have one end of the spectrum where you'd have your simulation, nothing was going right for the folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was the worst place I'd possibly imagine,
yeah,
imaginable. And, you know, how do they cope with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the fucking We Have Joy, We Have Fun, Seasons in the Sun.
We're
everyone's having a great time. Everyone's rich. Everyone's fed. You know what I mean? And then you'd have everything in between. Yeah, so you'd definitely have a planet where you'd have like people who were kind of just, it just sucked. Yeah, it's just shit.
Yeah.
It's not much going on. It's just the middle of the road experiment.
But then how would you measure it? Would you measure it on wars, fighting in the area, no police?
You just let them run. You let the simulation run, don't you? And then you see how it plays out, right? You don't get involved. And no good creator gets involved, apparently, yeah, because these, you know, all the religious stuff about that. But what I'm getting at is, if you were running simulations, you just wouldn't run one. You'd run a whole gambit of situations, and you'd let them all play out unaltered, right?
Yeah.
So if we were in a situation where we were in a simulation,
Sim City.
If we were in Sims, yeah, then, you know. Well, no, because in a sim situation, there is a controller. There is somebody controlling.
Oh, then Grand Theft Auto.
Right? If you were playing... Oh,
Walker.
No.
A Walker.
I think if it's a simulation, it's a program that's being run untouched. Yeah, no one's allowed to get involved. We're not being played by characters or controlled.
No one, did you say?
Or no ultimate being.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Or not an ultimate creator. Or if it is an ultimate creator, all he did was press enter. Just to get the simulation going.
Ah, but no, because if you think about it, no, because how are you gonna get the machine?
Ah,
someone's got to make
that
machine.
We'll go into that in a minute. I mean, all right then. In terms of humanity,
yeah.
How close do you think we're coming to being able to simulate a universe?
I can tell you, within 30 years, we'll find out if it's true or not.
Well, based on Moore's Law, which we were saying earlier, which originated around the 1970s, says, simply put, that it's that processor speeds or overall processing power for computers will double every 2 years.
Yeah.
Some think this is outdated, but Moore's Law does still hold up true.
Yeah.
So you would think that in the next 50 years, we would be at a point where we could ourselves create a simulation universe. And if we already are currently living in one, and we start going into this VR world,
kind of world,
we're creating this sort of Russian nesting doll situation where we're a simulation within a simulation within a simulation.
Well,
it's like if I went into a VR game and then started playing a game within the game, that's very similar, isn't it? I mean, you could do that in GTA.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I don't think it's within the out of the realms of possibility.
Yeah, I don't. Here's a question here. Right, what if you found out it was true? Would it make a difference to you?
Well, there's nothing you could do about it. I mean, I don't
think
it
would. Would you get more braver, or would you go like, ah, fuck it, I'm going to go in there with my AK and fucking shoot up the roof?
Well, this is the thing, because it's like, right, if it's coding and we're in a simulation, then...
Are you in control, or is it controlling
you? Right, then,
you?
We've worked out DNA, right? We know the code for our being, right? We know our genetic code, right? So if we could tap into the code of reality, we could change the game, man. Hack it. Yeah, we could make whatever we want. They go, I want a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Hacked. Put a glitch in that gets me a Ferrari.
Yeah, but there's always consequences when you fuck around with shit like that.
You get banned.
Yeah, who's going to ban you? He's going to come in and fucking grab us with his little fingers.
You, that's what they do, and then you're fucked.
Then you get shit on proper.
In terms of computing power, you were saying about kind of like how much power it takes.
You will need fucking hell of a lot of power.
I think, right, well, I was reading this thing earlier and it was basically saying to simulate a brain, right, would just be fucking impossible, right, because
700
if
trillion.
You count every interaction your brain has in a second, your brain makes 100 million billion interactions or operations per second.
Yeah.
So just for one brain in 1 second, so how much power would it take to, if you say took a population, to run all those brains, right? Simulated brains,
this is
right?
It.
Now, that take a lot of a computer probably doesn't doesn't exist that does that.
But could we be helping power?
Like in the Matrix?
Well, like a battery.
What? Well, no, because that implies that with my physical being isn't really here. It's off somewhere else.
Well, like you said before, you're in a fucking jar with getting pro.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you could be doing. I mean, this all could be your dream, my dream. How do I know that I'm not the only person in the world and everything else is just a construct of my imagination?
I'm only a ghost.
I mean? Yeah, well, no, just generally speaking, it's like, you know, you going back to the Greeks and the fucking Descartes and stuff, it's I think, therefore I am. I know I exist. I can't read your thoughts.
No.
So, as far as I'm concerned, I've got some Bible Jesus shit going on in my head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems very fucking vast, right, and I'm sure you feel exactly the same. There's vast fucking shit going on inside your consciousness, right?
Yeah.
So how do you know that isn't enough to kind of simulate all this? Do you know what I mean? Have you ever seen Life on Mars? The series. Now in America, they had their own version, but I definitely implore you, because I know we've got a lot of American listeners. But if you're ever stuck for something to watch. 2 seasons. Ashes to Ashes is the sequel to it.
Yeah.
But Life on Mars, John Sims, Phil Glenister, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's
one of my favourite shows, and it just got time travel. It's got kind of that element. It's got,
it's
good.
Got weird shit in it.
Yeah, it's good. But that says, you know, he's in a coma, right? And he's kind of like thinking.
I know you're spoiled for everyone.
No. I think he'd be fine. But he thinks that he's conjuring it all up because he can't work it out. When he says, I'm gonna just keep walking because I just don't know, I don't think my brain can conjure up that much stuff but it's possible, man. This is, like I say, it's fast.
Possible.
What do you think, like, about in terms of computing power though?
Shitloads.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to Moore's law and then look at, you know, like outside our civilization. Look to the stars, and there could be absolutely millions of like races out there who have computing power far beyond what we can do. And there's a theory about the Matrioka brain, right?
Right.
And this says that it's a complex computer, which it's a theory, but it's a computer that is a planet sized, it orbits a star. Powered by radiation, from the star.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'd have to say that you'd need more power than you could get from the sun.
Well, this theory states that this could possibly power our simulation and many others. It's actually that. Because, it's been powered, but it's a generator itself. I think it's layers of different.
It must have been laid for parts. Millions, if not billions of years to get all that power before it even started.
Well, you don't know where the other civilizations, if they exist, are up to. Do you know what I mean? They could have like advancements way ahead of ours. And if we're talking about our computing power in terms of Moore's law, but we don't know what their computing power could be like.
Yeah, but it's
increases ever vastly because they've got to the point where they've got the fucking ultimate computer.
Yeah, well, it is a favour.
Well, noted scientists and kind of people who have, you know, said that they believe that we could be living in a matrix. Obviously, Elon Musk we talked about.
Yeah.
Hawkins.
Yeah.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson, notorious killjoy.
Oh, yeah.
He's even came out and said it's very plausible that we could actually be living in a matrix.
Yeah, but then he might say Pluto's a planet next.
Oh, no, well, he's always changing his mind about stuff, isn't he? So what do you reckon?
I reckon there is good points there, especially when it goes into the quantum world, there's a high possibility that, yeah, but I'm still like 50-50, because if it is, what the fuck am I going to do next?
You just have to, well, you don't have to do anything, do you?
Well,
you
no, because things will change.
Why?
Things will change. If that's like saying you're going to die tomorrow. Yeah, things will change.
Nothing changes at the end of the day. If I plunged a knife into your chest, you'd die.
Yeah.
Just because you know that you're being simulated doesn't mean that it's going to make a difference. Do you know what I mean?
No, but it's going to make you sit back and think even more, especially if you're someone who thinks about this shit. You know what I mean?
Analysts at the Bank of America issued a report last year to state to its clients, claiming that there's a 50% chance that we're living in a virtual computer reality. Why would they do that? I mean,
it
comes down to three sort of possibilities, doesn't it? And one of these have got to be true.
Yeah,
right?
Superman's alive.
The chances of a species getting to the point, chances of our species getting to the point where we're technologically advanced enough that we could, you know, quite easily create a universe ourselves, right?
Yeah, it's a long way off though.
A super intelligent life, would a super intelligent life want to run simulations on us?
And why?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or we're definitely living in a simulation and there's nothing we can do about it. I mean,
couldn't say we're definitely, but I could say that there's a chance that we could be.
No, there is a chance. I mean,
there's a chance I'm going to fart and shit myself.
there's a definite fucking thing about it.
Chance that that's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah. What do your instincts tell you?
My instincts say sit on the fence, to be honest, because there's a lot to say. The probability is right.
Well, no, like I say, I mean, in one respect or another, we are definitely living in a simulation.
No,
because
I can't say.
Well,
that.
Yeah, but you are, because at the end of the day, it's like I say, it's like reality is only how you perceive it and how your brain makes sense of it, and your brain being the biggest computer of them all.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, no, you're not here. You're just talking shit to me, and I'm like, I'm talking shit to myself. What the fuck?
You're talking shit.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But like, you know, it's not easy. We're going on something that we think is basic, or we're putting it in as basic, and it is far too complicated to even bring the answer out.
Well,
to be honest.
Well, so what?
It's true that there's got to be some indications of it stopping us from finding out.
Well, have you not seen there's been glitches? I mean, like, in terms of kind of, there's a lot on the internet, and I mean, you can't always trust what you see on, there's loads of videos, if you want to go and check them out, about, glitches caught on camera, and it's birds just stopping midair, and fucking dogs not moving,
and
planes
shit,
kind of taking off, and then just sort of hovering,
or
two people wearing the same clothes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they do clutch at straws a little bit, and it's a bit mental, the sort of, when you listen to it, but the people do take them as examples of glitches in the code. Do you know what I mean? So it's like these people out there will say, or conspiracy theorists will say, oh yeah, these are the signs if you look for them, right? But
well, that's if you're looking for them. Science isn't a case of looking for them.
Did I mention that before? I mean, Hawking was turning around and said about this base code, and that he'd seen patches. There was patches in the code where what he described as code being repaired. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's seen patches, but did anyone else? Did he have his Viking thing that night?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
the guy
was a genius at the end of the day.
Oh, God,
and if he's turned around and said, whilst looking into this and looking at the fundamental code of the universe, Yeah, I've noticed areas of code that look like they've been patched by a fucking computer engineer. Yeah, right. Yeah. Now that looks, says to me that maybe they were. Maybe it was a coding error and like there was a glitch. Yeah, which something that might have given it away to us that they've had to, that whoever programmed it in the first place had to go in and sort it out. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the security software is shit then, isn't it?
Obviously. Isn't it sort of well, you don't know who's doing it.
But could we be the viruses within the computer?
We could be, and that's it. I mean, I was saying about us being like one of those, do you know, say if the whole planet Earth was the Ark,
yeah,
right? And then we were just one of the species that was brought here,
yeah,
to kind of be on the zoo planet.
Yeah.
Because there's fucking loads of animals here.
Well, that's
yeah?
true.
It's fucking loads of them. Not variety in the jungle of species. Evil. They're fucking everywhere, yeah? Yeah. Right? So if you think about, we were just plonked here with the rest of them, but we just went, oh shit, and took over.
Alpha yeah? males,
right?
Yeah,
we'd now, not just like an alpha male, just the fucking out dominant species, and yeah, we just basically took over like, all the land.
Yeah, but who's to say that ants won't do that tomorrow?
Well, exactly, but the thing is, it's like in terms of a reality, right? Yeah. And that, you try and explain that to an ant. You try and explain what our concept of going to work is, right? To earn money, yeah? To buy things,
yeah,
right? Try and explain that to an ant that is fucking mental, right?
Yeah.
So if you try to explain that to an ant, they wouldn't comprehend it.
Imagine,
right? Another species out there, mm-hmm, that are so far advanced to us that yeah, they're like fucking God, yeah, right?
You're going don't, a bit far
no,
with
no,
that
no,
one.
Hear me out, right? That they're so technologically advanced that we can't even comprehend what they're talking about, yeah, because we're just not there yet. Do you
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's naive to think that there's not a species out there with a computer powerful enough to run a simulation.
But just
because
something is big and powerful and you don't understand the measure of its power, how come it makes it a god?
I'm not, you know, you're going off topic. I'm talking about they're just so technologically advanced that we can't perceive their technology. It looks like magic to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, but they could have technology so far in advance that their computing power could create all this. Do you know what I mean?
That's my problem, the amount of power.
Well,
and
that's
like
what
you
I'm
were
saying
about the sun, I mean, a sun wouldn't do it, a super sun wouldn't do
it. Well, you're going off our principles of Moore's Law.
Well, yeah,
if it increases
true
every 2 years, then we'll in a couple of decades, we'll have enough power to do it ourselves.
But then,
do you know what I mean? Like that Better Than Life thing, you know, where you could step into the game, and that was always my dream as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't be happy until I can get in the game and I can be shooting the fucking Pac-Man ghosts myself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right? And there was no harm. I could never come to harm because I'm in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? But, you know, it's that realism that people want. Yeah. And
yeah,
it's like,
that's true.
People are doing it. People are out there trying to develop that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Photorealistic environments.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
all it takes is for that photorealistic environment to go from a couple of blocks to a couple of more blocks, and then you've got a city, and then you've got a countryside, and then you've got another city, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's so photorealistic that you could literally walk and walk and walk and see all types of things that other people have programmed into the world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That gets to the point where would you rather stay in that world because it's so amazing, or would you want to come out and, like Ready Player One, that film that came out, Steven Spielberg's film?
Yeah, I haven't seen
right?
it yet. I've not seen it.
It's decent. I mean, the concept of that is that it's such a shitty sort of post-apocalyptic sort of world that everyone's skint. The only way of making any money is by going into this simulation. And, you know, but that's more computer generated. It looks computer gamey.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's where you need to keep a distinction. You need to keep that reality versus...
This is where the problem's going to be.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
Because once you start implicating the fantasy...
And want to stay in and do more.
You'd be like,
more,
well, is this reality? You can't... Yeah. You know that's not reality because there's a fucking dragon's just flown by and you know dragons don't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know you're in a virtual simulation, but that's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, fuck with your head.
If we're in a virtual simulation, we don't know it. That's the difference.
Yeah, but if we did know it, would it fuck with your head?
Well, what reason would they do it? For what? I mean, obviously, the
only reason I
could think they'd do a simulation is to just kind of run tests, to see how our species performs in different environments.
Well, certain things will change because, like, if it is a virtual reality, then we could possibly make stuff that can easily make stuff like bridges or, you know.
A little toolbox, avatar toolbox where you could stick a bridge in.
Yeah, there's some our development that we're working in a different process.
Yeah, you could just implement the farm sim program and, you know, put farms in all the places you need them.
Food growth. Technically, you wouldn't need to eat or drink anymore.
Well, yeah, you just press the button that makes you have a
full life, you're healthy all the time.
Ammo, ammo, get a cheat code. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, if there was a means to getting into the code of reality, if it was a simulation, then you could probably hack it.
Yeah, there's got to be some way of hacking it.
Yeah, well, I think it is a very interesting topic.
Yeah.
And there is a lot going on to it. I mean, like, obviously... even like how your eyes decode that information to your brain.
Yeah.
Obviously VR. You know, there's so much to it. I mean, you could say like even the dinosaurs were that fantasy element, and they had to get rid of them because we were just like, whoa.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah.
So, is there anything you want to kind of go into? I mean, yeah, so I told you about that, the Matrioshka brain, that was the big computer.
Yeah.
I think I've covered everything, to be honest.
Yeah,
everything. I think it has quite a lot of kind of implications in terms of religion and stuff like that, because if it does turn out to be true that we've been programmed,
well,
then
that's
it definitely
why it won't
means
come out.
There is a creator.
That's why it won't come out. It won't come out because of stuff like religion and stuff. They'll find out and they'll make some bullshit fucking, oh, well, it could be, we've still got blah, blah, this, that, and the other, and they already know, and they're already starting experiments.
I think it's quite funny that Neil deGrasse Tyson's kind of on board with it, because he's such a naysayer whenever it comes to anything. You know, like, whenever a theory comes out, he goes, nah, that won't work because,
But he sat down, listened to it, and then gone, you know what,
there's a strong possibility, So, well, there you go.
And that's what you got to do, sit down, listen to someone else's conversation, work out if they're nuts or they're right.
Well, I hope we've not baffled your heads too much tonight.
Well,
I mean,
I hope
a lot
not,
to
but,
take in.
But, I bet we have. And a few.
A few points there.
Yeah.
Anything you want to kind of add to conclude, or are you...
Like I said, I'm still 50-50, but
at the end of the day,
if it isn't.
Right, at the end of the day, it's a wild theory, right? I'm not saying that it's true, right? There's a lot of strong possible evidence to say it could be, right? It's finding the proof that it is, right? And if you can prove it, then I'm on board, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, it's a theory, and a lot of the theories are... I mean, flat Earth's a theory, right? Now, you can kind of go along with that theory, and you can kind of try and find out all the information about it.
Or you can laugh at it.
But the thing is, or you can laugh at it,
yeah.
Right? Now, do we live in a matrix? Exactly the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, people could go into the Mandela effect and say that's linked to this, because, you know, obviously there are glitches in the matrix and bits of reality that have not worked properly or have changed or...
Now, that kind of shit brings it to me to bring more to like 45-55 on that.
What, so in favour?
In favour of. Because of the Mandela effect. Because it's a shown effect that's actually, like, the powers that be don't want you don't want to talk about it, but everyone else who's seen or... examine something does want to talk about it.
I don't really believe in the Mandela effect in that respect. I believe that it was kind of a lot of misinformation and a lot of kind of information that's been kind of misremembered. And you know,
we've done an episode
on it, and like you can go back and listen to that because I mean, in terms, we had a lot of info about it.
Yeah,
and you know, It's interesting, isn't it?
It is.
But I mean, you could say that those were glitches, and you know, just makes me go want to go watch the Matrix trilogy again now.
Well, yeah, but I haven't seen it.
You
for a while,
are the one, Neo.
Yeah,
I've not watched it for years. Apparently, no. They're doing a new one.
Are they?
Yeah. Well, that's as far as I heard. Any shout outs you'd like this week?
Just for my mum, Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day, mothers everywhere.
Yeah. Have a good day tomorrow and chill out and like.
As usual. Yeah. Good stuff, mothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a lovely Sunday. Yeah, I'm sure you will. Kicking back, relax, and get that breakfast made.
Yeah. of course.
I've got a shit ton of shout outs. I've got Augie, Jake, DCJ, Jimmy, Micah.
Yeah.
Tom. I've also got a couple of podcasts here. I've got the Most Best Podcast, straight out of Swansea, Wales.
Oh, the Welsh.
Check them out. I think he's, I don't know, I was checking on his Twitter before and he was like, the ongoing search for a co-host. So I don't know if he's doing it on here. He's just doing it on his own at the moment. But I do think he normally has other people on with him. Is he looking for a permanent co-host?
Might be.
You live in Swansea or the surrounding areas, get in touch, contact. I'm sure if you want to get in there. Obviously, Darkness Speaks podcast.
Oh, yeah, great podcast.
We're going to have a bit of Miss Bubbles coming on.
Yes.
On the show at some point.
We're hoping, yes.
Then we've got Drunk Netflix Reviews.
Yes.
Make sure you check out them.
Yeah.
They're three friends who get drunk and watch Netflix.
Yeah.
Don't get much sexier than that.
No.
There you go, that's their words. Obviously, I posted that poo toy on Twitter. And he came back and he said, oh my God, my two-year-old son would love this.
Yes.
So I said, I'll see what I can do.
He might have a look in the poster.
Dunk Dunk wanted me to give a big shout out to Dave the Mad Bastard.
Dave the Mad Bastard. Why is he a mad bastard?
Just a mad bastard.
He's just a mad bastard.
Well in, Mr. Mad Bastard Dave. And Dunk Dunk for sending in. He sends me great shout outs, I've got to say.
Oh, I thought you said he was going to send you grapes then.
No. Yeah, well, I'm not in hospital yet. Swoosh, give him a shout out. Number one Patreon.
Hell yeah.
Obviously. Then we've got Blood Black and Blue podcast.
Blood, Black and Blue.
Yeah, Upper Balcony podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my faves, Tennis podcast.
Yes.
And then everybody over at Pint of Science 2019.
Yes.
Yeah. So, definitely get your tickets. I'm going to leave a link in the description for that. If you want to get in touch with us.
Get involved.
I'll get involved.
Yeah.
Send us a news story. Talk, ask us a question, anything you want to get in touch with us about, you can get us on neverstraightanswer@gmail.com. You can hit us up at Twitter.
Yeah.
You can get us on Twitter at NASA_never.
You can.
You can go to Instagram, check out some of our posts on there. We've got, and that's at neverstraightanswer on Instagram. And basically you can subscribe. On every platform available, iTunes and G-Tunes and podcasts everywhere.
We are everywhere.
Yeah,
man.
Just Google it. I'm pretty sure you'll find us.
Yeah.
Anchor, iHeartRadio,
yes.
TuneIn Radio, boom, we're out there. Subscribe on whatever platform you listen to.
Yeah.
If you want to get some merch.
Yes, get some merch at Dizzy Jam.
Get myself some Dizzy Jam, get a t-shirt, get a baseball cap, a mug,
yeah,
a few other bits as well. If you still want a postcard.
Two different mugs now, isn't there?
Yeah, there's about five different mugs.
There's five now?
Yeah, there's probably about five. Awesome. If you want to go and get a mug, get the whole collection.
Why not?
You can get, if you want to get in touch and you want a postcard as well.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Just get in touch, I'll send you one.
Before they run out.
Also, I think that's about it, isn't it, really?
I think so.
Patreon. I'm just going to do another plug for Patreon, because, if you want to help us out and you want to stick a quid in the Patreon...
We appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate it.
We need the funds at the
moment. We've got a kind of...
build this up.
Get this bigger.
Yeah.
So, help us out. It only costs you a quid. If I go into the what's it, do you know, like all these, they pull on the heartstrings, don't they, on these adverts and go, it'll only cost you the price of a cup of coffee a month.
Yeah, or maybe a donut.
Or a donut, yeah. Just think, I could be eating that donut.
Yeah. Don't send us donuts now.
Oh, yeah, send us some donuts.
Yeah, all right. I'll have the jammy ones.
Yeah, and everyone who did say we'd send in a postcard to, they are on their way.
Yes.
So, yeah. And that's pretty much it for this episode.
It is.
To be honest.
It is.
Yeah. So if you've got any questions or you just thought, guys, you were talking shit today.
Yeah, tell us.
Give us a shout. And we'll catch you next time on Never a Straight Answer.
You will.
I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
Peace.
Out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.